and welcome. If you're visiting, if you're on the stream, my name's Andy. I'm one of the ministers here. I wonder if any of you have got your Advent calendars yet. Anyone got their Advent calendar? Some of you got your Advent calendars. That's great. My favourite all-time Advent calendar that I've been given was one I got last year from my children. Contained 25 different tea bags. One for each day of December running up to Christmas. And it was great. And every day through Advent, I'd drink my tea and I'd be grateful for my kids and think about Christmas. This year, I don't know if I'm going to get anything. I don't think I will, but that's absolutely fine. What I would probably really like is... Can we change slide on? One of the whiskey advent calendars you can buy online. 24 different whiskies. This is one of the cheaper ones. £100. I'm sure it's a bargain. Of course, if I was in the unlikely event that ever I was to be pedantic, not me, never pedantic, I would point out that this year's advent calendar should have 27 different whiskies, not 24, because there are now 27 days to Christmas, and we're now in Advent. And anyway, it's three more whiskey. No. But in our morning services during Advent, we're going to pick up on some of the big themes, the big ideas that appear in the language, if you like, of this season. So in a couple of weeks, can you go back a sec? Sorry. In a couple of weeks, we're looking at the theme of incarnation with Josh. And then just before Christmas, I'm picking up the theme of salvation, and there's one more, and I'm desperately trying to remember what it is.
I'm not quite sure yet. Probably repentance.
Repentance, maybe. They kind of all link together in some ways, and as I've been thinking about judgment, I've also been thinking about salvation. Sorry, judgment's the theme I've been given today. Judgment and justice. That's what we're thinking about today. And confession time, I'm not really going to think about justice at all, at least not directly. And judgment will come in a few minutes. But don't be afraid. But every Advent, I rescue this book from my bookshelf. It's a collection of sermons for Advent. Preached by an American preacher, a lady called Fleming Rutledge. It has the imaginative title Advent. I guess it says exactly on the cover what it does in the book. But it's subtitled The Once and Future Coming of Jesus Christ. And it's a book that helps me keep me on track at this time of the year as I think about some of the Advent themes and as I try to get in step with the rhythms of this season. I love Advent. I really do. The rhythms of this season. And one of the themes that Rutledge keeps coming back to is the idea, which she describes as Advent begins in the dark. Advent begins in the dark. And there's that well-known passage from Isaiah. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. Candles are such an important part of our Advent celebration, aren't they? Light in the darkness. Advent begins in the dark, and it's kind of accompanied by that cry, O come, Emmanuel. Come and save us from the darkness. Come and deliver us from the darkness. Isaiah puts it like this: Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down. Isaiah is looking around, lamenting the violence, the injustice, the dishonesty that he sees all around him, the selfishness, the collapse of personal morality. Israel was meant to be a light to the nations, and now it feels like it's each person for themselves. So, oh Lord, that you would tear open the heavens and come down. Come and rescue us. Come and save us. And later on in that same passage, all of our righteous deeds, he says, are like filthy cloth. Which is a cheerful thought, isn't it? I don't know about you, but every day I bump into wonderful people. Every day I see goodness. And I continue to believe in the original goodness of people. That before anything else in creation, God looks at what he has made. God looks at people and he says, this is very good. I believe that. But at the same time, I know the truth of what Alexander Solzhenitsyn said about how the dividing line of good and evil cuts through every human being. I know how short I fall in my own life. And I know how even at my best, somehow my motives are mixed. And that line runs straight through my heart, straight through yours as well. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down. And that cry to God, that cry that God would come and deliver, you find it again and again, particularly in the prophets in the Old Testament. Oh, come, Lord, come and save us. You find it in the New Testament. You find it in the letters in particularly. It's been said that come, Lord Jesus, is one of the very earliest Christian prayers prayed by God's people right from the very beginning. Come, Lord Jesus. In the face of the sin and the pain that we see all around us, as we recognize our own part in that, come, Lord Jesus. Come and save us. And interestingly, if you look to the right to the end of the Bible, right to the end of the book of Revelation, the penultimate verse of the whole of Scripture, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. That's the end. That's the point that Scripture finishes. Come, come and finish what you've started. And of course, Micah is talking, not Micah, Malachi, I'm getting my prophets muddled up. Malachi is talking about the same thing in that passage that we heard in Malachi chapter 3. And we're going to come back to verses 2 and 3 in a moment. But I want to read verse 5. And actually, I've tried to do a Eugene Peterson here. You know the message, his paraphrase of the Bible. I've tried to do something like that with this verse here. I hope I've got it right. It goes something like this. Then I will draw near to you for judgment. I will be swift to bear witness against the sorcerers, against those who are unfaithful, against those who twist and distort the truth for their own ends, against those who exploit workers, against those who take advantage of the weak and vulnerable, against those who thrust aside the asylum seeker, and do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. Advent begins in the dark. And this year, perhaps it began in the English Channel on Wednesday lunchtime as a small boat overturned and 27 people lost their lives. We hear them referred to as migrants, but really they were fathers and mothers, sons, daughters, individuals made in the image of God, deeply loved by God, fleeing situations that we can't imagine, looking for a safe place, as Jenny said in the prayers, looking for home. 27 people is a small number. Small proportion of the 80 million people worldwide who have currently been displaced by violence, by persecution, by natural disaster. Oh, that God would tear open the heavens and come down And I have no doubt about where God was on Wednesday lunchtime at 2 o'clock. He was there as the dinghy went down with those people. Come, Lord Jesus, when the harvest fail, when the bombs rain down, when the torture squads do their worst, when the game is stacked in favor of the rich. Come, Lord Jesus, when COVID or cancer ravages a body, when addiction robs someone of their dignity, when anxiety cripples, when greed and selfishness are celebrated. Come, Lord Jesus, when I look at my own sin and my own brokenness and my own bad choices, when I recognize the harm that I have done. Come, Lord Jesus, come and deliver us. Come and deliver me. I saw a tweet in the week that pointed out that Advent was a time for remembering all that needs God's presence in the world. I've not thought about it like that before, and I find that really helpful. Advent is a time for remembering all that needs God's presence in the world. And maybe also a time for reflecting on how God comes to us. Because come he does. Reflecting on how God comes to us, how he comes to us now, and how one day he will come again in glory. That word Advent comes from a Latin word, the word Adventus. Anyone do Latin at school? Do you know what Adventus means? Arrival or coming. Coming. This is the season of arrival. This is the season of coming. And as we prepare to celebrate God's coming at Christmas, so we are to look around to recognize the way that God comes to us now. And also to anticipate, to look forward, to remember that Christ will come again in glory, to judge the living and the dead, as the ancient creeds put it, I guess, which brings us back to our main theme this morning. He comes again to judge the living and the dead. I don't know what sort of images come into your mind when you hear that word judgment. And we need to be very careful how we hear that word and maybe set some of those images aside. Because when we hear that word, we're not talking, at least not primarily, about a forensic legal system with judges wearing fancy wigs and dispassionately pronouncing sentence. In the legal system, the mask is a symbol of authority. And as Jesus comes as judge, his authority is marked by the scars in his hands and on his feet. The scars made by the nails as they hung him on the cross, as he himself prayed, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." The Christ who comes again, the Christ who we will meet, is the same Christ who was born in Bethlehem. The same Christ who died for our sins and who is risen triumphant. The same Christ whose very nature is love and whose heart is set on healing us and restoring us and saving us. The same Jesus. The same Christ. It's interesting that up until the last, 100 years or so, judgment primarily was talked about discerning truth or value of a thing. I guess that's what courts do. They discern truth. They try to work out what happened, who is guilty, who is innocent. But judgment was about that discerning of the truth. Maybe a bit like those antique shows you get on the television, where the expert's presented with an object. And among other things, they need to determine, is this original? Is this fake? Or is this a genuine copy? And it's important. Its value depends on those things. Is it real? Is it fake? Judgment is naming what is true and what is false. It's identifying those illusions that Charlie spoke about in last week's sermon and revealing them for what they are. Judgment is an act of cosmic truth-telling. And it struck me, thinking about what happened on Wednesday, maybe that tells us the truth about something. Maybe that reveals the way the world really is. Maybe it tells us something about who we have become. Judgment is an act of cosmic, if you like, truth-telling. But also an act of cosmic healing. In Isaiah 57, you can't get far from Isaiah in Advent. And I'm sure he will reappear numbers of times as we go towards Christmas. But in Isaiah 57, Isaiah's talking about the people's violence, their unfaithfulness, their greed, their selfishness, and so on and so on. And there's this long litany of where the people get it wrong. And God says, I have seen their ways. I know the truth. I have seen their ways. And I'm going to blow them to smithereens. I'm going to consign them to eternal damnation. No, he says, I have seen their ways. But I will heal them. But I will heal them. Isn't that beautiful? I've seen their ways and I'm going to heal them. Judgment is an act of cosmic healing. It's an expression of God's love in which finally and once for all, he destroys all that is false and distorted and evil. It brings all that stuff to an end. It's the terminal point in all that is opposed to God. And all that is out of harmony with God. And Malachi puts it like this. Who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. Two images. The refiner's fire. Scorching hot enough to burn off all the dross. All the impurities in the metal, hot enough to get rid of the imperfections, to destroy the impurities. And the image of soap used maybe to wash the filthy hands of the blacksmith. Not the gentle, nice, gentle scented soaps that we use here in Sevenoaks, because we're very, very genteel here. But the soap that really digs in and gets the grease out. Does anyone remember Swarfiga? Yeah. Can you still get it around? I don't know. Yes, you can still get it. That sort of gelatinous stuff that gets rid of even the most powerful dirt. Industrial grade soap. That's what Malachi is talking about here. And that's his picture of God's judgment. Getting rid of the dirt and the grime that we carry around. Dealing with the impurities embedded deep within our lives. Maybe a modern image, we talk about the surgeon cutting out the cancer. Carefully and systematically removing the disease that destroys and which brings death. Malachi says that's what God is like. Like a refiner's fire, like industrial grade soap, like a surgeon, naming and dealing with all that is wrong in the world, including the sin that lies within us. Coming to eliminate all that distorts God's good and loving creation, and all that distorts my life and your life and our life. Charlie said earlier that Come, O Come, Emmanuel was a kind of Marmite hymn that you either love and you hate. And I love Come, O Come, Emmanuel. On the other side of the coin, for me, and I know probably many of you love it, is Away in a Manger. And I haven't got the time to go into why I don't like it here and now. But right at the end of the carol, right at the end comes this phrase, "And fit us for heaven to live with thee there." That's pure genius. I wish I could get truth across in 5 words rather than 20 minutes, 25 minutes. "And fit us for heaven to live with thee there." That's what God is about. That's what God is about. That's what judgment is about. But every time I sing that, I do kind of wonder to myself, do I really mean that? Yes, of course I want God to deal with the evil out there. And out there. But do I really want him to transform me? To form me into the image of Jesus? To give me the mind of Christ? To give me the attitude of Christ? To give me the heart of Christ? To give me a heart that is full of love for God and for others? Am I up for that? Are we up for that? Yeah. And that's, of course, what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit is God coming to us today, meeting us in our need, in our hopes and in our fears, in our brokenness, and looking to transform us, to fit us for heaven. So how can we cooperate with that work of God in this Advent season? Maybe two ways. There's a lot more, but just two ideas for this morning. Firstly, I guess it means recognizing, telling the truth about ourselves and the world. Being honest about who we are. Being honest about how we are caught up in the injustice, the stuff that we see all around us. Not woe is me, I am a useless worm. That's not being honest. I know pretty much all of you here, and there is not a worm among you. That is not true. That is not the truth of who you are. And some of you maybe need to hear that this morning. That is not the truth of who you are. You are not a worm. You are not useless. But others of us maybe need to root out the complacency that thinks, I'm fine, thank you very much. I may not be perfect, but actually when I look around me, actually I'm right up there. Recognizing perhaps that the line between good and evil runs straight through my heart. That I'm not yet fit for heaven, and naming to ourselves some of the ways in which that is true. Does that make sense? You are not, thank you, Miles. We are not worms. But actually, we're not fit for heaven either. And secondly, maybe it means going through this season simply with that prayer, "Come, Lord Jesus," on our lips. When you feel anxious and broken and at the end of your tether. Would you come, Lord Jesus? When you feel jealous or angry and you're tempted to do something that you know you shouldn't be, would you come, Lord Jesus? When you find yourself looking down on others, maybe, would you come, Lord Jesus? When you're afraid and out of your depths and you don't know what to do and you don't know which way to go and you don't know which direction to take and you don't know how to help someone, would you come, Lord Jesus? When you watch the news or read the papers or that article on the internet, come, Lord Jesus. When you hear the cry of the poor, come, Lord Jesus. And when you hear the voice of the rich and the powerful, come, Lord Jesus. Try that for the next 4 weeks. Make that a habit. See what God does. What God does with that. I wonder, something of that is what Paul was getting at, that in the other reading that Emma read from 1 Thessalonians. You're children of the light, he says. So let us not fall asleep, but let us be awake and sober. Maybe paraphrase that, let us tell the truth about ourselves. And let us pray for Christ's coming. Putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation, the hope that Christ would fit us for heaven as a helmet. And then as I finish, listen to these words. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him home. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Encourage one another. Build each other up. Take those Advent packs and use them to encourage yourselves to build us up. Feedback next week and allow God to encourage us to build each other up. Rejoice. Rejoice. Emmanuel shall come to us here at Bessels Green. Amen. Let us pray. Let's pray. Great God of presence and promise coming, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to fulfill your desire for us to love one another. We name before you our self-centeredness. We have not followed the paths you have given us. We have chosen instead to follow our own path. We chase consumer desires. We long to be successful rather than faithful. Come, Lord Jesus, come into our hearts and into our lives. We confess that we've not heard the cry of the needy. The mouth of the poor is still hungry for mercy. The cause of the oppressed is still thirsty for justice. O God, we name the truth that in our world the powerful are lifted up and the humble poor are put down. The rich are filled with good things and the hungry are sent away empty. Come, Lord Jesus, into the places where decisions are made, and come into the places where people suffer and die. Come, Lord Jesus, risen with healing in your wings. Come, Lord Jesus, to forgive. Come like a refiner's fire. Come like industrial grade soap. Come like the surgeon to judge us and to put us right. and to fit us for heaven. Come, Lord Jesus, give us a renewed vision of who we are and who, with your help, we might be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.